The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. It's Wednesday, the 15th of August, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Brian Larkin, CEO of United Oil and Gas, and Brian discusses the delivery of the fast-track 3D seismic data on the Tullow-operated license offshore Jamaica and other progress at the company. Also on the podcast, I have Solomon Rowland, General Manager at Tullow Energy, T-L-O-U. And Solomon talks about the operations update and the RFP bidders meeting. Plus, I have Melissa Sturgis, Executive Director of Ananda Developments, ANA's ticker there, and Melissa details their first investment into the Israeli medical cannabis sector. Plus, as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
Tired of using different sites to research companies? Vox Markets aggregates key financial details, pricing data, and company news into one place. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Brian Larkin, CEO of United Oil and Gas, UOG ticker. Brian, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Hi, Justin. How are you?
Good, thanks. And there's been a lot of demand for you when there's news out. So get Brian on the podcast. And so it's good. I mean, considering you've been listed less than a year, but there's a lot of interest in the stock. And I think that's testament to the amount of work you've done in the year. I just did a blogger recently. You started off with, three licenses?
And now we listed the company just over a year ago, 31st of July last year. With one license and an option agreement. And since we listed, we've done on average a deal, farming or acquisition, one every 6 to 8 weeks. Yeah. So in terms of portfolio growth, we've added 7 licenses to the portfolio, including super wildcat opportunity in Jamaica, which, you know, any major would love to have in their portfolio. And along with that, adding to the portfolio, we've drilled a successful well in Italy and found gas. We're now firmly on the road to production as a company. And we've also appointed an absolute industry heavyweight A-lister as our non-executive chairman in Graham Martin. Graham headed up Tullow's M&A program, Tullow Oil's M&A program for almost 2 decades. He was on the board for 2 decades. And in fact, he actually joined Tullow at its inception in 1986 as their legal advisor. So we are a former Tullow Oil team, as you know. So having someone like Graham come in on board, it's a real coup for a company of our size. So we've had a busy year since we listed. And most importantly, the share prices continue to move north. So we're making people money.
Yeah, well, do you know what, Brian? I don't think there's been a company that has done so many deals after, in a year of listing, you know, like you have. So to me, that points to a certain positivity, you know, a certain work ethic, the ambition behind you, you know, it says a lot. Let's go on the recent bit of news, because there's a couple of things happening. First of all, you've had the delivery of the 3D seismic for Jamaica license. Take us into, for people not aware of the Jamaica license, take us into the background of it and tell us what this 3D is all about, please.
Yeah, well, Jamaica is a super wildcat opportunity. Jamaica is a license that's known well to our management team. We worked on it when we worked in Tullow Oil. Tullow Oil are the operator. We farmed in last November. We took 20% equity on essentially ground floor terms. We completed a seismic acquisition. I think by March, April time this year, we completed the acquisition. We just got the first fast-track volume on our desks about a week and a half ago. We've had a chance to look at it, and we've had a fantastic product. We're really, really pleased with it. And, you know, I was joking earlier saying that, you know, if Carlsberg did seismic acquisitions, this would be it, because the acquisition was under budget ahead of time. There was very little downtime. The weather was fantastic. So we got a fantastic product in the back of it. And I think more importantly, you know, on the 2D seismic that we had, that Tullow had, we could identify a very clear structure. And I think on the back of the 3D now, what we can see is the Calibri target can be really clearly identified, which is exactly what you'd want to see. There's always a risk that the target might look a little, you know, might look a little smaller, might look a little more faint, but clearly from what we've looked at on the early interpretation of the 3D, the target is very, very clear, and we're really, really pleased, really pleased.
Yeah, and so when will you get some more sort of data from this then?
Well, we're working on the fast track volume right now alongside Tullow. We had a partner meeting with Tullow last week, agreeing the work program for the rest of the year. That is essentially processing the fast track volume, working on the final volume, and hopefully looking for potential partners to farm in. And in that regard, we've had quite a few inquiries directly to ourselves for from majors, actually, to look at the data. And we'll see how that progresses. Jamaica is certainly getting a lot of traction, it's getting a lot of interest. And, you know, what's great about Jamaica is it's one of the last, you know, the last wild frontiers to go and explore. And more importantly, United Oil and Gas are 20% of it. So it's getting a lot of traction with the majors. A lot of people want to look at this, and we're in a great position with it. You know, 20% is a strong equity piece to have in what could be one of the last great frontiers. You know, Jamaica itself, you know, there's been, I think there's been 10 or 11 wells drilled in Jamaica, 11 wells drilled in Jamaica previously, 9 onshore, 2 offshore. Every one of them, or sorry, 10 of them had hydrocarbon shows, and the last one was drilled in the early 80s. So it just goes to show that if we throw some modern technology at this, there's every chance, you know, that we could have a really large asset on our hands. And a lot of the work that Tullow did pre-2018, you know, confirms the presence of all the elements required, or all the elements you'd look for in a working petroleum system. And when you're looking at kind of frontier exploration, you know, you're kind of trying to tick as many of those boxes as you can. And it's kind of unique to have so many ticked in this instance. So it has us as a company, and Tullow as a company, really excited about the future for this project.
Yeah, so as far as that is concerned, Jamaica at the moment, it couldn't stack up any better from, you know, from where you are, could it?
No, it's one of those, it's like, it's not without its risk, but it is one of those opportunities that could be once in a lifetime. The stars aligned in terms of timing on this for us. I always had my eye on it, and getting some equity in it from the inception of United, it was always a hope that we could get some of Jamaica into the portfolio. It is one of those that comes along potentially once in a lifetime, and our equity, you know, I keep going back to this, but it's unique for a company of our size to have such a high equity piece in what could be not a game changer, a life changing project. You know, we have a CPR on this that, you know, has an estimate, you know, of 200 million barrels recoverable over the Calibri target alone. There could be, if Calibri is a success, there could be 15 to 20 more targets of similar size, if not bigger, within the acreage. So, and it is a large acreage position. It's 32,000 square kilometers, so it's vast. It really is it's a world class asset, world class opportunity.
Yeah. Wow. So it could be 15 to 20 more targets there.
Potentially, yeah. Potentially.
Wow, that is crazy. Okay. And the action there, drilling there, is going to go quite a while away. But
not necessarily. I mean, it's potentially late 2019, maybe early 2020. But if you think of super wildcat exploration opportunities like this, for a company of our size of access, you're normally 5 years away from drilling.
Yeah.
You know, we're potentially a year to 18 months away from drilling. So in terms of a near-term exploration, it is very near-term, high super wildcat. You know, it is reasonably near-term. And I think given where our share price at, it's a great opportunity for shareholders to get in at this level for a longer-term hold for Jamaica whilst we continue to extract as much value as we can from the remaining assets within the portfolio.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got that sort of late 2019, maybe early 2020. You've also got Italian assets. Which, when are they going to start producing there?
Yeah, well, we had a discovery in Italy tail end of last year. We have submitted the development plan for the ministry probably about a month to 6 weeks ago. So we hope to have first production sometime next year, most likely probably the second half of next year. But what's really encouraging is we've made great progress on that license since we farmed in. I mean, we farmed in there last summer, we drilled a well just before Christmas, and we've got the development plan now before the ministry. So we're happy with the progress we're making in Italy. Italy does take a little bit longer, but we're comfortable that it's going through due process, and we're on schedule. Also in Italy, we plan on acquiring some 3D seismic the end of this year, early Q1 next year. And that seismic will be acquired over the exploration upside in the acreage. And to be honest, Justin, that's what got us interested in this acreage in the first instance, because We knew we liked Salva, but East Salva, which is the exploration upside piece, we always thought could be a multiple of what we've got in Salva, and we're looking forward to moving that forward with our partners and later this year to acquire some 3D and hopefully start well planning next year. But what's interesting really is that the process we're going through on the production piece right now, which is essentially bringing what is an exploration license into a exploitation license, once that's done, is done for a lot of the targets that we'll be acquiring the 3D over. So it means that when we go to drill them in hopefully 2019, we won't have to go through this long process again, and once they're drilled, we can hook them straight up and put them onto production.
Excellent stuff. So you've got Jamaica with potentially lots of exploration there. You've got Italy with lots of exploration targets there and production. Let's move now to, I suppose, the next big sort of milestone this year is Coulter, isn't it? Take us through that.
Yep. Yeah, well, to be honest with you, I can't wait for this to move forward. It's one of those rare occasions you can't wait for the summer to end and get into the autumn so we can drill this thing. But we hope to spud that well early October. Everything's on course. In fact, we've got the long lead items. We're currently paying for the long lead items. That well, as I said, should drill in early October. It's about 7 kilometres south of Witch Farm. So it will be drilled with a jackup. What we're targeting, you know, what we really need for that to be a success is north of 6 million barrels recoverable. If we achieve that, anything above that, it would be a commercial success. We're highly confident we'll encounter hydrocarbons. It's just a question of how much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, how confident, what's the chance of success here? I mean, but you're saying you're confident here of how much you're going to get there?
Yeah, I don't think it's more of a, we certainly believe we'll find hydrocarbons. It's just the real risk is how commercial day will be. And I think at this stage, we probably have a 50-50 chance of success on it, which in this industry are fantastic odds.
Yeah, fantastic. I didn't realise. So you're in early October, you're saying?
Early October at this stage, I think, yeah.
So that's, six, seven weeks away, isn't it?
Yeah, that's all. It's coming around quick. And as I said, it's very rare you're wishing the summer away. But I'm right now, we're wishing the summer away to get into the autumn to start drilling this thing. We can't wait to get on with it now.
Yeah, okay. And what about the other parts of the portfolio, Brian? What's happening there?
We have a partner meeting scheduled in September. At that stage, we should have the seismic interpretation completed. We'll then look to kick off some reservoir modelling, and hopefully we can start planning a well for Q1 2019. Watercross, as we've mentioned before, is essentially a redevelopment project to our mind. It was a field that was previously in production, so it's a question of drilling a new well, getting it back into production. Assuming success there, we could hook that straight up and turn the taps on and hopefully have production late Q1 next year. So progress on that license too.
Yeah. And I know you're always on the lookout for other things, but is that still happening or are you too busy at the moment?
No, we're always on the lookout, and in fact we're getting approached regularly with more and more deal flow, and in fact we just can't look at everything at the moment. I literally have a list the length of my arm of opportunities to look at, and what's interesting is there's a lot of opportunities coming along that may not require cash. There's opportunities we're presented with where companies are looking to vend their assets into us because they believe we might be a better home for them and that we can create more value more quickly for them. We've also got our paper, which we can use as a commodity. So, we're seeing some more interestingly structured deals, which right now fits really good with us. I mean, raising money is expensive and it's time consuming, and I want to avoid it at all costs unless you've got a whopper of a deal that you believe can actually add significant value for our shareholders. Because ultimately, I mean, we've spoken about this before, Justin. We can talk about strategy all night long, but ultimately our goal is to create as much value as we can in our share price. And some of the deals we're looking at, if they require cash, they'll only be done if we believe they'll move the needle significantly for our shareholders.
Yeah, cool. Excellent. So, Brian, I mean, when you started this, like I say, just over a year ago now, mm-hmm. you listed just over a year mm-hmm. ago, is it going to plan? Is it exceeding what you thought? What's happening?
We're only getting warmed up. to be perfectly frank, we're only getting started. We're only getting warmed up. I was asked at an investor meeting recently that we held in London, we had an investor evening, and I was asked, what was the exit plan? It's simple. There is no exit plan. We're building an oil company. And if you think of the oil and gas life cycle between exploration, appraisal, development, production, right now we've an asset in each one of those boxes. We kind of consider ourselves, it might seem a bit silly, but we kind of consider ourselves a mini major, in that we plan on seeing that life cycle evolve into a mid cap and then a large mid cap. And then hopefully, if we're lucky, we might have some sort of success that our former employers had in Tullow. And that, I think if we actually had 20% of their success, we'd be delighted. But we want to grow the company, So are we ahead of expectations or anything like that? No, we're on schedule. We're only getting warmed up. We've a lot of plans to grow this company, considerably. And we've made great progress over the last year. I'm really happy with the progress that we've made. What we said we would do, we have done, and more. And we want to continue that tempo and continue to build the business cleverly and quickly, and continue to build the portfolio and create as much value as we can from it.
Yeah, well, I only know sort of one other oil and gas company. I'm not going to say who they are, but with quite a few assets and prospects similar to yours, but they are more than double your value. And I don't understand the disconnect there,
Well, look, we've just done, I think maybe we've just done so much so quickly in such a short period of time. It's maybe hard to get for everybody to be aware of us or to understand their story. But, one thing that we don't want to do is continue to add licenses to the portfolio, I'm willy-nilly. I mean, ultimately, we've done a lot of deals over the last year. As I mentioned, we've done one every 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, that's not sustainable over the longer term. You can't continue to add standalone licenses into the hopper like that. What you need to do now, and what we are doing now, is looking for those kind of transformational next deal steps. And rather than continue to do standalone farm-ins, that's what we're looking for. Yeah. So in terms of the growth and moving the company forward, what we're looking for is that transformational deal. And I'm very pleased that we've got quite a number of those that are currently under evaluation.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, listen, if someone is, listening to this podcast right now and thinking, that sounds very interesting and I'm not following the story as yet, give them three quick reasons in sort of summary, Brian, as to why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
As I said to you before, Justin, I could give you 20. But ultimately, I mean, we've a lot of high impact news flow over the next number of months between treaty in Italy, the Calder wells kicking off, water cross well planning kicking off. We've got ongoing work on discussions on our Crown license award. There's interested parties. We're talking to some interested parties and potential farm-ins there. So, that's just the existing portfolio. On top of all of that, touched upon, we're looking at some particularly interesting structured transactions, and as always, you hope to land on one of them soon. So we're making a lot of progress. I'm really happy, and I think the next 6 to 12 months is going to be really exciting for the company and our shareholders.
Excellent stuff, Brian. Good to chat to you, and like I said, there's some big milestones not far off, so hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin. Talk soon.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Solomon Rowland, General Manager of Tullow Energy. TLOU is ticker. Solomon, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Justin.
It's always nice to have a new member of the team on. I don't know who you are, but by that I mean I've had Tony on, I've had Colm on, but I haven't spoken to you before. So it's always nice to get a different aspect, a different angle on it. So thanks for coming on, Solomon. How long have you been with Tullow, by the way?
I've been with the company 6 years and was recently promoted to the general manager position.
You must be doing a good job then, yeah?
I hope so.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, there are always people tuning in who are new and maybe not familiar with the company. So could you give them a brief summary? How would you describe Tullow Energy, please, Solomon?
Well, Tullow Energy is the most advanced gas company in Botswana, with a significant amount of independently certified contingent resources and reserves, our environmental approvals, and mining license in place.
Excellent stuff. Okay, and like I say, he's a pioneer in that country, and I don't know, Tony's done it in other countries, but it's never been done before. And we all know there's a sort of a power deficit. They're hungry for power there. So the government is very much behind this project. So let's go into the news of late. You did an operations update and an RFP bidders meeting. Let's break that down. So first of all, let's go into the operation update, and that's the pilot production program. What's happening there then at the moment, Solomon?
Well, at the moment, we're ordering the long lead items to commence that high impact work program. That will commence next month, and it is to drill out up to three production pods. Nine wells will be drilled in those three production pods in an area that's been identified as highly suitable for the initial project development from our recent seismic and core hole data campaigns.
Excellent stuff. And what are the timelines on these? When will you be doing it, actually, you know, in action on the ground? When will that be happening?
Look, that will be... We'll be spudding the first well in about mid-September, mm-hmm. and then that drilling campaign will be ongoing for 5 to 6 months.
I see. Excellent stuff. And let's move on there to the pre-tender bidders meeting. So you had a meeting, and in fact, just give the background before we get into the deal. Give the background as to why it was the meeting, and if you could, and what happened last time, if you could.
Sure. Botswana, as of all of Southern Africa, is a region with a growing demand for energy, and in particular, energy from gas. And as a result of that, the government have identified as their future supply plans for generating electricity a need to incorporate up to 100 megawatts of gas-fired generation. And so they embarked on a pilot project tender, which was aimed at developing a maximum of 100 megawatts of coalbed methane-fueled pilot power plants in Botswana. Initially, we applied to be pre-qualified as bidders for that tender, and we were successful in doing that with one other company, a local company, Botswanan company, Second Army Proprietary Limited. We proceeded to submit our tender last year, and for what I would term as bureaucratic reasons technical non-compliance reasons, that tender was not successful. And because the government really wants these pilot projects to happen, they didn't just then say, look, sorry, you're unsuccessful, we're now dispersing with the pilot projects. They said, no, we want it to happen, we're going to re-tender the development of up to 100 megawatts of coalbed methane-fueled pilot plants in Botswana, and they reissued the re-tendering document in July, and we're now going through the process of compiling our new submission for that re-tender. And as part of that process, this time around, the government held a pre-tender bidders meeting where they got us and the other pre-qualified tenderer, Second Army, into the Botswanan ministry to talk to us about the tender process and to answer any questions we had on the tender process and the actual tender document itself.
Yeah. Well, I've noted in this article here, and it's probably worth clarifying this for a couple of people, because you've issued a request for proposal for the development of up to 100 megawatts of CBM, And now I think it has to be in, closing date for submission is the 12th of September. And your submission will outline an initial project. Obviously, it says initial there. I think some people miss that word out, but for up to 10 megawatts. Can you explain why you've gone for 10 rather than go for the full 100?
Yes, certainly, Justin. That's a very good question. Look, the only reason someone would lock themselves into a 100 megawatt power purchase agreement, which is what this tender is for, is to get to power purchase agreements, is if they believe the price of energy and gas in the region was going to go down in the future. We don't believe that it is. Also, if we did bid for 100 megawatts now, the smart money in the market, and in fact the Botswanan government, who's evaluating this tender for that matter, would be asking us, how are we going to come up with the $100-odd million of capex to pay for an initial 100 megawatt project? Mm-hmm. So we believe it's a lot more sensible to start with a small pilot project for this tender, which allows us to get set, get all the downstream infrastructure in place, and then incrementally and modularly grow from there, entering into future PPAs in a pricing environment which is much more favourable than now.
Yeah, and like you said, there's so many different factors there that work on a positive level, you know, starting at 10 megawatts. And of course, it's less complex, isn't it? There's less capital requirement, and almost like once you get that proof of concept up and running, it's not a problem to, you know, expand that out towards 100 megawatts, is it?
That's right. That's right, Justin. You have the infrastructure that's in place there, and then you can just gradually drill out your field as you enter into new contracts in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know if you were there, but the meeting for the pretenders, it says in the RNS there, it's pretty positive. I mean, obviously, I assume you're going to reflect this and say everything was going to plan there. Is that right? And they were quite receptive, the government.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, just the very fact that this time around they're having a pretenders bidders meeting, and they're taking a more facilitative approach towards the tender is very positive. It shows that there's a continuing goodwill from the government there for the tender to be successful, and so we were very pleased with the outcomes of the meeting. And we'll now proceed to submit our tender prior to the 12th of September.
Yeah, well, Solomon, when Colin's been on here and Tony's been on here, I just asked them, you know, a personal opinion. I mean, I always say, how do you feel the project is going and what's your thoughts on it, Solomon? So it's nice to get it from a general manager's point of view. What is your take on the whole operation there at the moment?
Yeah, look, it's going really well, Justin. It's going to be a really big 6 months for us coming up. We're going to have, you know, we're going to be starting the high impact work program, which will generate plenty of positive news flow for the market and advance the project even further. So it's exciting times.
Yeah, excellent. And once you, I mean, Tony said this, but once you're into the grid and you're up and running, you can basically supply power anywhere in the Southern African regions as well, can't you?
Yeah, you can. You can even become a member of the Southern African Power Pool as an independent power producer and wheel power to any country that's connected to the grid, which is all of the Southern African countries, South Africa, Namibia, Zimbabwe, any of those countries. You can generate power in Botswana and sell throughout that grid.
Excellent stuff. Okay, one final thing, Solomon. If someone's listening right now and likes the sound of the progress you're making, but are not yet following the company on Vox, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, Justin, first of all, Botswana and all of the Southern African region has a growing demand for energy and gas. Secondly, Talao's Lesedi project is the most advanced gas project in Botswana and I believe Southern Africa for coal bed methane gas. and we're fully, thirdly, we're fully funded to commence a high impact work program, which should deliver plenty of positive news flow for the market and advance the project even further.
Marvellous stuff, Solomon. Good to chat to you, and hopefully we're chatting again in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Melissa Sturgis, Executive Director of Ananda Developments. ANA is ticker there on NEX, and you can follow them on Vox Markets here. Melissa, thanks for coming back on.
Good morning, Justin. Nice to chat to you again.
Yes. Well, people are aware of you, of course. Some people are not. Some people are new to the podcast. So give us a brief summary. What is Ananda Developments all about, Melissa?
Well, it's really about giving shareholders in the UK exposure to the medical cannabis space. We listed about 6 weeks ago. We raised just under £1 million and have been trading quite nicely with the intention of making investments in the medical cannabis space.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I don't want to go into the whole macro environment, but people who are in touch with the news have seen, you know, medical cannabis in the UK, it's moving forward, isn't it? I mean, is it going to be legalised, or what's happening at the moment?
Yeah, look, the government is in the process of doing that, and I must say I think everyone who's close to it is really impressed and very supportive of the changes that are happening at such a swift pace. You know, cannabis is now legal for medical purposes in about 44 countries around the world, so it is really only a matter of time before it happens here in a rather large way. And, of course, being one of the first movers in the space here, we are very much hoping to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I'm just looking at a BBC article now. It's dated 26th of July, but it said specialist doctors in the UK will be able to legally prescribe cannabis-derived medicine products by autumn, the Home Secretary has announced. So that's progress there. Okay, so you're in that space. It's a very hot space. So what's the news today, Melissa?
Well, this morning we have announced our first investment. It's very much a foot and a rather large toe/foot in the water for us in Israel, which is one of the countries which we designated for investment. We really, really, really like Israel. The researchers there have been working on cannabis and the endocannabinoid system since sort of 1994, and really have started to abandon, much earlier than anyone else, some of the misguided preconceptions about cannabis. So we've really liked that area. What we are doing is making an initial $200,000 investment in a company called ICAN Israel Cannabis. That company is probably one of the leading businesses in the cannabis space, in the medical cannabis space, in the world. They run conferences all over the globe. They ran one in London, in fact, late last year. They run one in Tel Aviv every year. And they also have a business unit which gives them exposure via their own investments to many, many very interesting businesses in Israel in this space. Also, let me just look down, they have a couple of their own investments, very interesting, a company called CanRx, which has an advanced extraction technology called VCT, which is really a patented vapor capture technology which enables them to extract the cannabinoids from the cannabis plant. Very, very interesting for us to get exposure to that. And also they have an investment in a company that's building a trading platform for cannabis, which I think, given what's happening in blockchain and AI, that will also be very, very interesting. So for us, it's very much a toe in the water, and we expect many more investments to come off the back of this relationship with ICAN. And we're really, really quite excited about it.
Yeah, and I got to say, you are a microcap. I love microcap stocks because it doesn't take a lot to make them move. You know, that's my area. And so, at the moment, you're at the very start of your journey, but it's nice to have made a start here, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, Justin. And, you know, 6 weeks in, we're pretty pleased with our progress. We are obviously working on lots of other deals and ideas whilst we're announcing this one. So we do very much see this as the start of our journey. And I agree with you. I also very much like the micro cap space environment. But let's hope that we can work hard and do some good deals for our shareholders and turn this into, let's not say big cap, but let's start with mid cap. Company.
Okay. Well, let's give three reasons. So, if someone's listening right now, likes the sound of this, the space you're in, but are not following the story, Melissa, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox and add you to their watch list, please.
Yeah, look, Justin, we're one of the first movers in the space, and I think that means that we can give shareholders exposure to the medical cannabis space if that's something that they are interested in. So that's one good reason. Secondly, with the changes in legislation really moving much faster than we all expected in the UK, I think it would, you know, it makes sense. We're very much hoping to get a bit of the sort of £16 billion of market value that's expected in the UK by about 2028 in medical cannabis. And we are moving quickly. For the the third reason we're moving quickly, we've got our first deal announced this morning, and there will be more to follow.
Excellent stuff, Melissa. Good to chat to you. And like you say, more to follow, so hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Cheers, Justin.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are as follows. At five, Rehobold Resources. In fact, it's joint with United Oil and Gas. So that's Brian on the podcast today, of course. At four, Horizonte Minerals, HZM. At three, Salvix Group. At two, Phalanx Group. And number one, of course, Mike Reed from Phalanx was on the podcast yesterday, and they've just bought shares today. So it was a dip in the share price on the results yesterday, but I think people are looking at historic results there because, you know, going forward, always looking at stock, you know, always looking at updates, should look, share price is all about, you know, what's in the future, not what's happened. It's about, you know, what's going to happen. So, yeah, the guys, they're buying shares. Number one most followed company is Predator Oil & Gas. I still don't think people, you know, have the potential here. They don't see it. It's still 3.5 million market cap, but two world-class assets in Irish Sea there, and near-term cash flow from Trinidad. And the guy, Paul, owns a big chunk of stock, about 44%, and he's had huge successes before, and Steve Staley from Upland's on the board as well. And so I think people are not seeing this. It's, you know, could be, it has massive potential, those assets. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Feedback, First G Healthcare order for Texrad. At four, Vesarion, coming on soon, Neil, hopefully. Appointment of further DIT secondaries, the Department of International Trade from the government. Another one dealing with a Chinese sort of project and agreement they've got there, which is massive, of course. At three, EVR Holdings, Melody VR and Alexandra Palace exclusive partnership. At two, acquisition of 29.41% interest in Blueberry Project in the Golden Quadrilateral of Romania. And number one, most liked RNS, came from Anglo-African Oil and Gas, commencement of drilling at Tilipi Oilfield. We're supposed to get the guys on. Hopefully they'll still be coming on very soon to chat about that. So that's AAOG. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.